Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Rider Club Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week we watched Animal Sentai Juojir Whatever and Kamen Rider Ghost Who Gives a Shit. Liam, what happened on Ghost this week?
I think it was Juojir 25 and Ghost 44, if memory serves.
Who cares?
I don't know, some people I'm sure.
It's Ghost 44, Animal Sentai Juojir 25.
That's it. So this week on the
Kamen... I knew the fucking numbers, I was just bullshitting you.
Oh, you were? I'm sure you were just making a joke.
I didn't just look them up immediately.
So Demi is going to release soon in 3 hours. So everyone's got to, oh, we got to stop it. And the beta, meanwhile, is just kicking in now. And Hiroki and all the others in the beta. Little Hiroki, if you remember last episode, he turns invisible. And then Onari turns invisible as well because they got the beta eye. They got the beta Google Glass. And their souls start going into the slipstream. And Takeru follows them into the slipstream. And he ends up on a basketball court. And all the souls are going into a...
What?
He ends up on a soccer field. And all the souls are going into a giant monolith. And they're... I guess...
You know, when all the souls, like, went into those little hexagons and formed into the big circle, and it started flying, I was like, man, wouldn't it be fucking hilarious if it was a giant contact lens? And then it turned out to be.
Putting it on the eye symbol.
You know what's funniest? Is that jokes are real now.
Everything you ever made a joke about in Ghost is real.
Why? Like, what kind of a terrible fucking writer is like, we use eyes all the time, why don't we make the great Demia project we've been hyping up, people's souls turn into a contact lens for the great eye. Isn't that genius?
It's genius enough that Steve Jobs thought of it.
That looks like something that would be in Spaceballs.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even realize that is absolutely right. I want to watch Spaceballs now. Forget this TV show.
Let's just talk about Spaceballs.
Let's do a Spaceballs cast.
Man, I'd be fucking up for that. I love that movie.
Okay. So all the souls are turning into a giant eyedropper.
Spaceballs?
No.
I don't remember that part. Is that before or after they stole the oxygen?
All of the souls are turning into a giant contact lens, and they're being called towards the monolith by the music that they sing.
Yeah.
Takeru uses Beethoven, and he plays his music even louder, and it deactivates the music, and it makes all the souls go back. It makes them go back into their bodies.
It's a cool power that Takeru had this whole time, apparently, and never used.
It's just the power to interrupt the music, and as long as the music's not going, I think, as long as they can't...
Hey, did you know Takeru can fly?
Well, he is a ghost.
No, did you know he could, like, fucking turn, like, Freakazoid can into, like, a bolt of energy and fly through the air?
Well, he is a ghost. Ghosts do that a lot.
Seemed to surprise everybody else in the group.
Yeah, well... I'm not surprised by anything in this TV show.
It's just, if this is a power he's had the whole time, why hasn't he ever used it?
Because he doesn't need it until now.
Oh, I hate this show so much.
So he comes out and Akari says, wow, great job, Ghost, interrupting him with that music. It's not going to work with the real release, though. And Ghost says, why not, Akari? So then the two of them go to meet Steve Bills. And Steve Bills is putting on the final... like, touches, he's doing the big presentation to release the show, and everyone's watching, they're like, damn, this is gonna be sick, and Akari and Ghost and Necrom go to the servers, the server room, so they can shut down all the servers of the Google Glass, and they go to blow it up, but then it turns out that those are just the servers for the beta test, and the real ones are going out, so the real ones go out, everyone puts them on right away the second they launch.
I like how this is, like, a little bit like a child wrote it. They're like, well, the whole series is. But this episode specifically is very much like a child wrote it, where they're like, how are we going to find out where the servers are? Wait, there's lines in the sky. They're pointing right towards it. Let's just go there.
We can actually see the souls flying through the sky towards this church. They go to the church.
He doesn't even say, we could see the souls. Or that those are the souls up there. He says, we'll follow the lines.
Yeah. Follow the golden lines.
This is worse than a fucking hand-holding-ass BioWare game.
They follow the golden lines to a church.
Ayo,
zinger. There's a church, and there's a monolith there, and they blow up the monolith that's eating all the souls, and then Adele says, oh, fuck, I'll just do it. And he comes down in a ham-fisted angel metaphor, and all the souls go into his back, and there's gonna be trouble. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Ghost episode 44?
You know what, Liam? I didn't like it very much.
Really? I thought it was alright, actually.
I didn't like it very much at all.
I liked it more than most of them.
Really?
I'm gonna disagree with you.
There are two completely fucking pointless Ganmizer fights in this episode.
Yeah, I know. That's part
Ghost
of the
resolves.
Course.
Ghost resolves the problem of the episode by saying his fucking catchphrase while his friends say their catchphrases, and then they kick it, and nothing matters, and everyone's a fucking idiot. Fucking Onari's. Like, crisis of conscience is... Or not crisis of conscience. His, like, fucking problem with not adding anything to the group gets solved because somebody's like, you know what, Onari? You're part of the group. And it goes nowhere. And nothing ever fucking happens in the show that I care about, ever.
It's one of those episodes, Jeff, where, like I said, if it was... Well, actually not. I'm not even gonna say if it was earlier I like it. I just think... I feel like... I'm not gonna say... If it had aired earlier, I would have liked it. I just feel like, now that we're at this point, I feel like the writers had the last handful of episodes actually planned, and not the rest of the series, because I feel like this is when the show is kind of starting to come together. It still suffers from a lot of the bad tropes that it always has. There's pointless fights thrown in. Igor is still shit.
Fucking Stockholm Syndrome, sir.
No, I don't.
The show has beaten you in a corner long enough that you feel like you owe it something now.
There was neat scenes in this episode. There was a cool scene when the kid is turning invisible and he feels like he's burning alive and he's trying to wash the burning off of him in the shower and he's reaching out for his mother and it's
That's
like...
That's not what's happening.
Yeah, he says he feels like he's burning and he's...
Yeah, because he has the water on really hot. He says the water is so hot, I'm burning,
Mom. Why would he turn the water on super hot?
Because he's taking a shower.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. The writing in this show is bad. You're just inferring good things from it.
I don't think that's what he says. I don't think he says that about the water.
I watched it 5 minutes ago.
Okay, if you say so. I'll take your word for it.
I've been wrong about things before in my life, but never more than once.
It's a creepy ghosty scene, though, either way. I liked that bit. And I do like the imagery of all the souls going into Adele's back. Like I said, it's a ham-fisted angel metaphor, but it's a very cool-looking image.
That's actually a fairly, I mean, I've made fun of the whole, like, Jesus imagery in Man of Steel before and how ham-fisted it is.
Mm.
But just from, like, a visual standpoint, the shot of him standing in front of the stained glass window was very well framed.
It made me imagine a good show.
Yeah, it looked very nice. There is some of the worst sound mixing I've ever heard in my entire life in an officially produced television series in this episode at one moment.
Which scene in particular?
It's when Takeru's on his little phone, right? And he's talking to Okari, and Okari's like, blah, 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 blah. And then it cuts back to Takeru standing outside, and you hear, and then it cuts back to Okari. Yeah. And the sound's just gone.
Well, how are you going to know that you're in a different scene?
That was terrible.
It was pretty bad.
You know what, if I had to be fair, there are a couple things in this episode that I didn't dislike. Like I said, that one shot was pretty nice.
I like that the Steve Bills illusion is finally gone. It's finally been stripped away.
Yeah.
After 17 quadrillion episodes.
I like that Adele's doing something.
Yeah, the story is coming to a head, which is refreshing, like something's going on.
I'm so confused, Liam. Like, I thought when we were going to go into this, you were going to hate it more than me, even, because of how... There are so many things in this episode that you usually, like, always call out in every other episode.
Well, I'm not saying there's nothing bad about it. There's plenty shitty about this episode. It's just I'm glad shit's happening. Like, really actually going on. Like, everything... It's building to some kind of climax, and I can tell.
Yeah, it is building to a climax. It's like... I wasn't excited for Onari to get a little bit of character development or anything, because I don't really care that much about him at all, but I thought, you know, they would at least have it happen, but it didn't. They're just like, you're part of the team. Okay, that plot's done.
It's like the writers were like, oh shit, Onari didn't change or grow at all over the course of this show. We'll just put it in 44. Just put it in episode 44. It'll happen there.
Makoto's completely pointless again.
Makoto, remember when Makoto had a dad?
Yeah.
Remember that? For like 3 episodes, he was like, man, my dad sucks.
Do you remember those Rider Soul videos?
Yeah, what? That was... Oof.
Those two fucking chicks show up for literally 2 seconds in this episode.
I don't know what the fuck that's gonna be about.
What if it just never... Nothing ever happens with that again?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. For those of you who don't know, a few months ago there were those legendary Rider Soul little mini-movies. I think they were like YouTube things that...
Yeah,
they're
on YouTube.
Putting on some legendary Rider Legend soul forms. You know, like, there was the double hoodie and the Gaim hoodie and whatever. They made a whole series about it.
Yeah.
And there were these two mysterious girls in it, wear the white robes. And they were just in that. Nothing else.
Yeah, one of them was evil and the other one was less evil.
And they both appear in this episode. Very briefly, at the very end.
Yeah, I didn't watch the rest of those, so I don't really know what their fucking deal is or anything.
I don't think they all got subbed. I think only the first few of them got subbed.
Yeah, so I don't really know.
I doubt it would... They wouldn't explain it in these YouTube videos and just leave it out of the show, would they?
Yes.
They'd have to put some sort of explanation here.
That was so jarring. Like, all I could imagine was a kid at home being like, who was that? Why were they in the episode?
That's what I felt like.
I knew who they were. I still wanted to know why they were in the episode.
I was confused as you were.
I did enjoy what... I guess I was really disappointed with, like... You weren't excited for it, but I was, to see Alan's actor play Onari. But he has, like, 4 lines as Onari in the whole episode.
Yeah, mostly he just stands around.
I mean, he does the faces alright, but he's never the focus of anything. And he says... Half the time when he's doing his, impersonation, he's not really putting much into it. He's just saying a line real quick.
Yeah, well, they're so close to the end. His paycheck is already in the mail.
I mean, you gotta have something about the end of the show in this episode. I'm fine with that. Those parts, I guess I'm fine with.
When the actual
the
plot
Demia project,
is, yeah,
happening. I don't care about. I never did.
Okay.
So, the whole focus on the Demia Project and Steve Bills and Igor, that felt like a different, like a separate half of the show. Like, he wasn't, him having anything to do with Adele is strange to me, because he never did.
No, it was
until
always,
like, a few episodes ago.
Adele never even mentions the Demia Project until, like you said, like, episode 41 or something is when he's like, oh yeah, Demia's, I knew about that.
Yeah. It felt like a separate part of the show, and it feels clunky, the way it's being integrated now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was Adele's plan the whole time, I guess. I thought his plan was to use the Ganmisers to do it.
Yeah.
The Ganmisers are all back again, yay.
Well, I don't fucking get the rules with the Ganmisers. They revive, but then... So they revive infinitely, but then Infinite Soul can kill them forever. But then... They can still revive infinitely. He still keeps bringing them back. But then in the few episodes ago, he's like, there's only, like, 4 left. But then he's got all of them, but they're all Makoto. But they all zap into one, but then there's all of them in this episode.
You know what I don't get what I was thinking about?
What?
You know how Ghost's regular form is his soul?
Yeah.
What are Makoto and Alan's regular forms?
I think
whose souls are those?
We asked that about Spectre way, way back, and thought like, maybe that we were going to get an answer, but nope.
No, whose souls are those?
Spectre is the soul of some shitty salary man who got hit by a car. That was all they had on hand.
Spectre is the soul of his mother who will never, ever be mentioned.
Necrom is the soul of a shitty, bland villain character.
Well, no wonder.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm confused why you enjoyed this episode more than the others.
Like I said,
it had like just as much crap in it.
I'm gonna disagree. It had crap in it. It had the usual ghost shit, but it was laid in with the business of the plot, which was actually pretty decent. I mean, I don't mind the idea of like a big Google Glass thing that steals all your souls, and Adele seems to be actually doing something. I still hate Adele, but. He's like...
She's such a good singer.
It seems... Fuck you. It seems like he's going to do something next episode. I hope. That's my hope.
We'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully Igor will be out of the picture soon.
I guess I see where you're coming from. I think I've said that and then retracted it like 6 times, but this time I actually see where you're coming from.
Yeah,
It's refreshing to have actual plot in a Kamen Rider Ghost episode, regardless of whether that plot is good or not.
It's not high praise, but my praise is that something happened this episode. And there were some nice visuals.
It's terrible sound mixing.
Terrible sound mixing.
There's also a weird point where, like,
Alan
transforms, and he's standing on one side of the camera, and he presses the thing, and then the camera switches to the other side, and he just runs into frame already transformed while his transformation sounds are happening. And I was pretty confused about why they did that. I know to save time, but it just looked really janky.
It's just, they don't have time to do the full transformation sequence later on.
So have him, like, hit the button, and then show the monsters, like, scrambling towards him while a flash of light happens until his sound effect is done, and then have him attack.
How about you shut the hecaroni and cheese up, Jeff?
I mean, I guess I could.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say to that. I didn't know I was dealing with a fucking idiot!
The more I see Adele on screen, the more upset I am with him. Because he's such a shit villain.
He is.
And I can see a good villain in him. I can see a good villain in the hands of the right writer being brought out. Because the Genma had a really interesting angle, or at least the Lords of the Genma had a really interesting angle early on in the show. Where they were like, oh, you know, we have a world where no one can die. There's no war, there's no disease, everyone exists as a ghost. And it's pretty much perfect over there, so we're going to turn humanity into that. And that's just what they believed. They're lifting up the poor, stupid, shitty humans. I think if they had stuck with that, or made it that, like, that was Adele's main thing, and instead of him being like, I just want to be the most powerful man, that would have been a lot more interesting and a lot cooler to discuss. Right now, he's just, all he does in a scene is snarl about how he wants the power, and he wants the Ganmizers.
Well, it's, what you're saying is that Adonis would have been a hell of a lot of a better villain.
Yeah, if he had a better actor.
Well, that was Adonis's whole thing. Like, he was the one that had that whole, we're gonna bring Utopia to Earth kind of shit.
Yeah, everybody except for Adele, that's why he killed everyone.
Yeah, Adele's like, I'm going to make Utopia, but don't you already live in Utopia?
And he doesn't say anything, because he just checkmated him. Here's what I would have had done. I'm gonna go into Fantasyland for a second.
Alright, write me some fanfiction.
Okay, so Adonis, same setup, right? Everyone is all, oh, we gotta save these humans, except Adele, his son, is, like, the really timid one. He seems really kind-hearted and is unsure of himself. He's the one who you think is gonna turn good. Necrom turns good. It goes the same way. But when Adonis starts to, like, second-guess himself, you know, when he gets to that point where he's like, maybe we should stop this, Adele kills him, and Adele takes over, but Adele stays as that sort of timid, really polite, nice guy. He just thinks he's saving the world. He just thinks he's doing the best thing. And I know that's way, way too, like, Ghost would never do something like that, but, like,
that's, like, that's shit that, like, I don't even know, like, movies can't get right 90% of the time. Making, like, a villain who has real motivations, who you can sympathize with.
That'd be fun, I think. But, yeah, it's way too late for that. Anything other than just a bad guy who's bad because he wants power. I mean, you can do it well. A nice, charismatic, evil villain is a cool, like, the Emperor from Star Wars, I love him. He's just a dick. But, like, Adele is not, he's not the character to love, he's just bland. He doesn't do anything fun, he doesn't talk in a fun way. He's just boring.
He hardly talks, really.
Yeah. He's just
mutters to himself in a room while his sister tells him to stop.
He's so flat. That's what he is, he's flat. Just like the rest of this gosh darn TV show.
But Liam, you fucking loved this episode. It was your favorite show you've ever watched.
It was a comparatively decent episode.
Anything can be comparatively decent to other Kamen Rider Ghost episodes.
Yeah.
So
what I'm saying is it's not as bad as usual.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay, well,
I don't agree with it.
You do have bad opinion disease.
You know what? Everyone writes in and says, Liam has terrible opinions, and Jeff has great opinions, and he's probably also very handsome, which is true.
You know what? I don't read the emails, but I'm going to believe you.
The fact that you don't read the emails, I could be getting emails for anything.
Yeah, like I get what?
Emails that are like, click here to make your penis grow 7 more inches. Except you, Jeff, you don't need it. That's what they all say.
Of course. Of course. Why wouldn't they?
Go to the fucking emails right now and look.
No.
Go look.
No. I don't feel like it.
Well, then you have to believe me.
I guess I will.
This episode was shit. It had a few good things in it.
Had a few good things in it.
I really don't like Adele, and I don't like the show, and I don't like Liam.
Okay. I don't like you either, buddy.
We'll talk about two characters hating each other, but still being around each other all the time later.
Later on, when we talk about the good show.
But Liam, you love this show.
I really love Ghost.
Ghost is Liam's favorite. He wrote it.
It's my favorite. I did. I wrote it. I made sure it was garbage just for you.
Everybody thank Liam with fucking bullets and skull.
Jeff, are we done talking about Ghost?
Forever, I hope.
Well, a few more episodes.
What about the news?
I have the news.
Tell me, you don't have the news, do you?
I have one news.
Okay, tell me this one news.
So, we got a few very, very close-up looks at the Gamer Driver. Bandai did a thing, an event, and there was lots of toys there, including the Gamer Driver.
Okay, when you said Bandai did an event, I was like, did they have, like, a fucking press conference where they showed off the Gamer Driver?
Just for the Gamer Driver.
Did, like, news hounds squeeze into a tiny room for the first fucking look at this children's toy?
A bunch of 50s reporters with little press cards sticking out of their hats and big-ass cameras. Psh, psh.
How many doodads can you stick in it?
Wait till John Franklin Siegel, Roosevelt New York sees press.
Did you say wait until President Roosevelt sees this?
Yes. what were we talking about? Kamen Rider. So there's a Gamer Driver, and it's what you'd expect, but there is a neat little mechanism I saw. So if you saw earlier, there's like a screen at the front, kind of like Forza, where it like projects a picture of the rider. Mm-hmm. Has a little picture of the rider on the screen, a little approximation of the rider. And the way it is it's not like a screen with some lights under it. You put the game in the side of it, and the side of the belt shines a light through a translucent part in the game, which hits that part and makes the image. It's really hard to describe, but you'll see it if you look at the picture. Through a series of mirrors and pulleys and levers, it creates this little projected light image on the front of the belt, which is very clever, I think. It saves a lot of money on light bulbs, too, I bet. But that's the rationale, is when you put in one form, and it projects the light through that form, and it shows that form, and then you put in a second form, and that one goes on top of it, and the light also goes through that second form and, like, projects it onto the first one. That's how the little doodads work in the belt. That's how the lights work in the belt, which is really cool. I thought that was a nifty little mechanism.
That is pretty nifty.
Yeah, it's a lot more creative than just the usual lights and doodads.
If Toei can figure out a way to save money on anything, you bet your ass they will.
Yeah. They have to get actually creative. They're like, oh, shit. We have to hire intuitive minds to create this toy so that we can save $2 a year on lights.
Fucking Bandai, man. Bandai's the ones who do anything creative. Like, they're like, here's this really creative belt idea we got. It's like a big eye, right? And you can attach stuff to the inside, and it becomes the iris of the eye, right?
Mm.
And it, like, blinks to transform and shit, and we put all this thought into how it works. And Toei was like, well, we'll just put, like, a fucking idiot in the clown costume. He'll wear it, whatever. Who cares?
The show doesn't matter.
What are ghosts? I don't know.
I don't know. They're, like, astronauts, I think.
I would have gone for another astronaut series
instead of this. Yeah, man. It's been enough. It's been, what, like 5 years since the last astronaut series?
Maybe not even that much.
That's the news.
Jesus Christ. That's all you got.
Look, we recorded our last episode on Saturday. Not a lot has happened.
No. There'll be, like, huge fucking news for the next 4 days. Like, John Toei will die and leave behind a map to his fucking gold that he left all in one piece.
His Toei gold that he buried under the Rider Club radio building.
We've actually been banned from the Rider Club radio building.
We talked too much shit.
We said one too many bad things about John Toei, and now we've been evicted.
That's a shame.
They're putting up like a Chipotle or something in there now.
We can do the podcast still. We just do it in the warehouse on the edge of town.
There's constantly eyes peering out of the darkness around us. I don't guess they're fans of Ghost either.
I have another little piece of news, actually.
Do you?
The Emperor of Japan is talking about abdicating. So Heisei is almost over.
Oh, no.
He did it too late, though. He should have done it with Gaim, so it would be a nice round 15. But, well, you can't have everything.
What a weird cutoff point.
You can't have everything. But yeah, Emperor Heisei is thinking of stepping down. What do you think the next era is going to be called?
Neo Heisei?
Neo, of course, yeah. What was I thinking?
The next era is going to be Schwarzenegger, probably.
Emperor Schwarzenegger.
He can't be in charge of California anymore. He's got to do something.
I hope Ryder goes through a really arbitrary style shift just because they gotta.
Wouldn't that be weird?
It'd be so weird. If they were
like, well, we have to do it now.
The Emperor changed. We gotta change the whole show now. That'd be amazing, actually. Just anything to shake this fucking thing up.
Just try something new. Jesus Christ.
Please. Ryder.
If Heisei leaves, I hope the next one is just as fun to say as Showa and Heisei.
Yeah. Showa is more fun to say than Heisei, I think.
Yeah, Showa is definitely
Showa.
Fun. I like to watch a nice Showa when I get home.
Yeah. I like to take a Showa to get myself clean.
I would like to take this opportunity to sign my resignation to Rider Club Radio.
You can't. You signed a contract.
Thank you all for your time. I've loaded the gun and have it to my temple now.
You're in a contract until 2025.
Jesus fuck. Now I'm chambering the bullet.
No! I can't do this thing with Tomaz.
Yeah. All right, I'll stay.
Oh, thank God.
Why don't we talk about Animal Sentai Juojur to cheer me up a little bit?
Alright, so Juojur happened this week, and in it, there's a horrible monster that captures people in photographs, and it gets everybody except for Misao and Leo, so they gotta work together even though they hate each other.
The monster's called Say Cheese and Die.
Say Cheese and Die. Yeah, thanks. By
R.L.
Stein.
Stein.
I loved this episode.
Yeah, this is such a fucking good episode, man.
It was a kind of character interaction that you don't see, well, that we've never seen before. Where it's just they're two totally incompatible characters, and they acknowledge that they get along at the same time as realizing that they're just never going to be compatible totally.
They can't stand each other
at
all.
And that's, they know the score now. That's the thing. There's no more awkwardness between them. They're just not each other's type.
I didn't expect that at all.
Because there's the scene when Leo's like, I hate you, and Misao's like, I hate you too. And Leo's like, now you're getting it? And I thought like, oh, we're not so different after all. But then it's like, no, I still don't really like you.
That's a nice lesson to teach kids, I think. Like, for real. That sometimes you and somebody else are just not going to get along. Just, you can get along as much as you're not causing horrible problems for your friends.
Yeah.
But you're just not going to be pals.
Just know the score. Always know the score is the lesson. But that's...
I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah, I was actually kind of blindsided by it. And it was really refreshing. Like, Juojur is always really good about making episodes that are like two characters sorting out the differences. And this is no different in that regard. Like, it is still about two characters sorting out the differences, but they do it in a way that's sort of, it's very fresh for the series.
Yeah. It's another pitch, but it's a curveball.
So, yeah, exactly. You can still hit it, but you'd go, whoa, shit, I wasn't expecting that. But then you hit it anyways.
Yeah, thanks for extending my metaphor. Now everybody gets it.
Just in case for you non-baseball players out there, I need to clarify.
all of our listeners are baseball players.
That's true. That's
I got an email waiting for us to talk about later from Jose Canseco. Oh,
okay. Good.
A big Kamen Rider fan.
I'm sure.
Would anybody even know who that is still?
Come on.
That's like a earlier 2000s guy.
They know he's a baseball man, at least.
He's a baseball-playing king in space.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Leo. He's my favorite. I like Misao a lot. He's hilarious. And there's actually one of my favorite shots in the entire series in this episode.
What's that?
Where Misao is like, here, take my fishing rod. I used it when I caught my very first fish. And it dissolves to like a flashback. And I expected there to be a tiny child fishing. But it's him the same exact age.
Like, fully grown. I love that they keep hammering home that Misao is awkward. And they don't always do it in an obvious way. They don't always do it with words. Sometimes they do it with something clever like that. Where it's
he's such a huge fucking loser. And they just show it in like a quick little flashback to show he caught his first fish that year.
Just this grown-ass man fishing by himself. Speaking of fishing, the scene at the very, very end with him and Leo, where they're fishing and Leo's like, damn, this is good, what do I do now? And he's like, I just wait for a bite. And Leo's like, ah, I see. Wait a second. That's fucking what? Dumb.
How is that fun? Also, there's one of my favorite moments as well, not in the series, but in this episode, where the monster is going like, ka-click, ka-click, and his dumb voice is like, ka-click, ka-click, and
yeah.
Then it's ka-click,
yeah.
For the last one, and it cracked me the fuck up.
We don't talk a lot about JoJo's monsters, but they are pretty good. They're not like outstanding, like, oh, that was a great monster.
All tend to have the same voice, though.
Yeah, they're good as, like, vehicles to entice character progression. That's where they shine.
I love that voice change, though. Like, the old Legend of Zelda cartoon was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those ways is that the guy who voiced Ganon in it did this, like, really high-pitched pig voice. But he would switch octaves once in a blue moon, and that would freak me out as a child.
He throws you the curveball.
Like, he'd be like, we'll break into Zelda's castle, and when I get my hands on that Triforce... as a little kid, I'd just shit a little brick and be like, oh my god, he's a real terrible villain.
That's Ganon. He's a spooky man.
That stuck with me, that voice change, and the fucking cameraman did it, and it made me laugh.
Yeah, he was a pretty fun guy. His power was a little, it was what you'd expect.
It was silly.
He catches you in a photo.
It was a Super Sentai power.
And the way they solve it is pretty funny. It's quite clever.
But it was Say Cheese and Die. Let's not fucking joke around.
I thought the plot of Say Cheese and Die
it's
was...
It's nothing like Say Cheese
and Die. Yeah, I was just gonna fucking say.
Like, you say Cheese and Die, you get your photo taken, and it shows a horrible accident happening to you.
Yeah,
and then it happens later.
It doesn't make you happy. That's another thing I really liked about this episode, is it connects to the last one. The whole reason he gets the villain camera in the first place, the whole reason Misao gets it, is because he's trying to cheer Yamato up because Yamato watched his mother die again the other day.
Yeah.
So it's this great little... They're totally episodic, but they sort of weave into each other. You can't watch them out of order.
No. And I definitely like how Misao's like a complete idiot. Like, he sees a thing that says, free camera, it'll make you happy, while, like, monsters are attacking the Earth by tricking people.
This is not a plot.
Even the wolf voice in his head said, could that be any more suspicious? And he still took the fucking camera.
Well, you know, the wolf is paranoid. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, that's his personality trait. I love that they keep coming back, by the way.
Those three in his head.
That's my favorite thing about Misao, that he keeps having, like, conferences in his head.
Whenever he has to make a decision.
His imagination.
Yeah.
He's fucking nuts.
I love him.
He's great. I didn't think I was gonna like him.
Yeah, he's not like the usual like strongest ranger. He's very human.
He's a complete loser, and I see myself in him.
Oh, that's sad but true.
Wow, Liam, fuck you.
Is that all we have to say about JoJo?
It it's really good. I feel like we should give Juodra more time when we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But it's, we just constantly repeat over and over how great it is.
Yo, it's awesome. Yeah, there's only so many ways you can say, hey, this show is so good.
If you haven't given Juodra a try and you're just, like, skipping over this part of Rider Club Radio because you're a masochist of some sort and you just want to watch Ghost.
If you're skipping through it and you've landed here.
Well, yeah.
Watch Juodra.
You should. You should give Juodra a shot.
Just take our word for it.
It's 25 episodes in.
Yeah.
So you're a little behind the curve.
Oh my god, we're at the halfway point. Fuck!
Yeah.
Why does Juodra feel like it's flying by? And Ghost feels like it's crawling.
Yeah, especially because we're getting the exact same amount.
You're moving at the exact same rate, yeah.
That's sad.
That is so sad. It's just so fun. Like, Juodra isn't like... It's not like a groundbreaking, amazing show that does so much. It's just... It's pure Sentai. It's just everything that Sentai is allowed to do. It's those constraints that Sentai is allowed to work under. Done very, very well.
Yeah. It is. It's pure fun. It's not like eating like your full course meal or whatever to get all your vitamins and minerals. It's like having a big juicy burger. It's delicious.
Yeah, some nice. It's not greasy good.
It's
fries.
Not like
it's not Watchmen.
Great for you.
No,
but it's really good and you enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So watch Juodra.
Watch Juodra.
Don't watch Ghost.
Do not watch Ghost.
A lot of people don't. Like, we get messages all the time of people saying, I finally just had to drop Ghost. I can't slog through it anymore.
Well, you made the right choice. No one can blame you. You're a reasonable person.
The only reason we still watch it is because we have a podcast.
Oh, yeah. There was a period of time where we're like, I just want to see how it goes. But now, if I was not doing this, you bet your ass I would not be wasting 20 minutes a week on Ghost.
Yeah. And I mean, it's our fault for setting up the podcast to have this format.
Yep.
Like, we could have just been like, let's talk about whatever ride or show we want every week.
But no.
No, we had to follow the newest shit. We had to be the fucking PewDiePie of Kamen Rider.
Because Drive was good. Drive was good while we were doing it. So neither of us stopped to go, wait a minute, what if there's a Rider series that sucks? We had two good
shows.
I should
have known.
We had two good shows in a row. There could not possibly be a bad one ever.
And now, here we are.
Here we are. Here we stand.
Broken men.
The victims of our own hubris.
Liam sent me a message earlier that said, what time do you want to record tonight? And my response was, holy shit, Ghost is out already?
Overtime. Please, don't work so... Do what you did last week and put it out on, like, Friday. I don't want to do it this early. I can't.
You don't even have to do it if you don't want. That would give us an excuse not to have to watch it.
Oh, they stopped. Oh, what a shame. Oh, they stopped subbing it. What are we going to do? Oh, well.
I guess we'll just, you know, catch up with it later or something.
Watch something else, I guess.
I wonder if Overtime likes Ghost.
No.
You don't think so?
I'm going to say no. They seem like reasonable people over there.
Yeah. I thought you were a reasonable person and you liked this episode.
I thought it was a fine episode. You will not put that away.
I won't.
Put that ghost in its grave.
For the rest of our fucking lives.
I liked an episode of Ghost.
That's
there
cool.
It is.
I'll make certain it shows up on your gravestone.
You're gonna die first, buddy. You're dying before me. I'll be sure of that.
I'm already got some plans in place to make certain that you're dying first.
I'll remember that when I'm pissing on your grave, Jeff. I'll think about that.
It's going to be tough to be pissing at all when you're a fucking skeleton underground.
I'm going
to
piss my...
While I'm pissing on your grave.
I'm going to piss my skeleton piss up out of my grave and onto the next plot over, which is your grave.
We're going to both die in a fucking plane crash. It'll show up in all the newspapers. Rider Club Radio gone down in flames again after doing it on their own show for 75 episodes. It's a
everyone,
very long headline.
Everyone will survive the plane crash except for us. Two morons. It was like a perfectly fine controlled landing, but two morons freaked out and fell and broke their necks on the chair legs.
I imagine the way it'll happen is the plane will hit some turbulence, right?
Yeah.
And then, like... The fucking seats we're sitting on will just rip out of the plane and go flying off in the distance. and just explode for some reason when they get really far away. And then everybody else will just put luggage over the hole and keep going.
won't even be reported.
Our friends and families will just be like, you know what, it's better this way.
I haven't seen Jeff in a while. Oh, well. I'm sure he's fine.
He's fine. Hey, did you hear about that frozen skeleton they found in the Andes?
Oh, he's fine.
He was clutching a DVD copy of Kamen Rider the First.
Holding it for warmth.
Alright, enough fan fiction.
Enough predicting our death. Every time we make a prediction on this show, it comes true, so let's stop right there.
Well, know what's happening next. Oh, we got some questions this time.
Good, show them.
Here they are.
Bring them forward.
I'm showing them to you.
Fucking read them.
Oh, okay. We got a question from Madison. That's the Dr. Hope.
Okay. The Dr. Hope. Wow.
The original. The only.
Shit.
They say, sell my ass on Garo. Wait, has to be a question. Can you sell my ass on watching Garo? How much is your ass worth?
I can't sell your ass on watching Garo, but Jeff might.
Well, let me tell you.
Give him the rundown.
Garo's a good show. You should watch it.
It's got a lot of violence. It's got tits. It's got ass.
The show is, it's not really a tokusatsu in the same style that, like, a Kamen Rider or a Super Sentai is. It's like a supernatural action show.
Decades
it's
all about, like, it?
That's way later. It's about, like, demon hunters, really. That's what the show's about. And, like, intrigue within the demon hunting society. It's like, I don't know, it's like all those 90s Monster Hunter shows, like...
Supernatural?
No, that wasn't Buffy? The 90s. Yeah, except good. Well, oh. Buffy was fine, whatever. Buffy was fine. But shots it's fired. Like, it's like fucking Highlander.
Oh.
Sword fighting and stuff, the TV show, except oh. Not like really ham-fisted and shitty, and the action's really, really great.
The way you said you were like, it's like Highlander. I was like, oh, like the TV show.
Hey, there was a Highlander movie starring the TV show cast.
I know. It was called Highlander Endgame, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to end my fucking life after yeah. I watched it.
How could there be such a huge franchise with cartoons and video games and shit, and literally only one thing in it is good? Like,
the first
nothing,
movie, that's
nothing
it.
Nothing after the first Highlander movie is good. It's all trash.
Yeah, I don't know how they managed. I don't know how it kept going. Anyway, Garo is
anyway,
like,
back to Garo.
Garo has some of the best fight choreography I've ever seen. And it has, not I've ever seen. I watch a lot of fucking kung fu movies. But for tokusatsu, it's fucking stellar. The characters are exceptionally likable, but are also rounded in a way that sometimes you won't like them. And the plot is overarching throughout the series, but doesn't get in the way of, like, the episodic stuff that goes along. The episodic stuff does not hinder the story. Some of the episodes are like a day in the life of a demon hunter.
That sounds pretty cool.
And some episodes are far more story-driven. Like, the first season has this background story about another Makai Knight, which are the demon hunters, wanting to get revenge on Garo because he thinks he killed his father. So you get the classic revenge tale in there as well.
Is it a stupid misunderstanding or is it an okay
misunderstanding? No, it's a 100% believable misunderstanding.
Okay.
And it might not be a misunderstanding at all. Because if you get horror blood, the demons are called horrors, if you get horror blood on you, you'll, like, die in horrible agony in, like, 100 days. So Makai Knights have to kill humans that get horror blood on them to save them from the horrible months of agony of dying.
It's pretty cool.
It's really adult, obviously.
Yeah, like I said, it's got tits.
It doesn't get, like... At first glance, it might look like something like a teenage boy would doodle in his fucking notebook next to his Megadeth logo. But it doesn't get edgy, ever. and it's fucking sick. Watch it.
Okay, so there you
go. Also, if you don't watch it, I don't fucking care. It's not my job to sell you on it, motherfucker. How about that?
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, sir.
It's really good. Our next question is from Anachronism.
Okay.
Who says, how do you think people are going to view ghosts as they look back on it in a few years? Some reputations get better in hindsight, like Wizard, for example, and some don't. Fies, sadly. Also, do you think Kubar might become the final big bad of Juojir? That happens frequently enough in Toku where you get a bait and switch for the final confrontation enemy sometimes.
That happened in Sun Vulcan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, spoilers for Sun Vulcan.
Oh my god, you fucked it up for everybody.
It's from the fucking... It's a show. It was 1981 it came out or something. It doesn't matter.
Nobody was alive.
Sun Vulcan... There's a big villain in Sun Vulcan that's a Darth Vader ripoff because Star Wars had just come out and it was huge. He looks kind of like a shitty Darth Vader. And he gets fucking killed, like, 15 episodes before the end of the show, and then the whole villain organization, like, crumbles slowly and goes through, like, six other leaders, and they keep rebelling, and it's a really good arc. So if something like that happened in Juojir, that'd be sick, because I like Kubar.
Kubar, I feel like they would have dropped a hint or something, that, like, it was the perfect time. And if they didn't drop a hint and they go that way, I'll be really impressed with them.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, so enticing to drop that hint then, but they still have plenty of time to drop that hint later.
Yeah, Juojir is... But it was when... What, go?
Oh, it was when, what's his name?
Mega Beast Hunter Bungalay?
Bungalay.
Yeah.
You remember it because of the Mega Beast Hunter
I can't say
you?
It unless I say Mega Beast Hunter first.
Bungalay... is like, I read your mind. And he's like, oh, what did you find out? It would have been the perfect moment for him to be like, I found out about your plans. But instead he said, I found out who destroyed your planet. Which maybe is also that, a cool hint.
Maybe that has something to do. Maybe Kubar destroyed his own planet.
Yeah, it sounds like it. He says, then evil. I absolutely have to destroy you now.
Yeah.
Did he destroy Bungalay? Because he just comes back at the end of the episode.
He doesn't show
Bungalay again.
I'm sure he doesn't destroy Bungalay. Bungalay's a tough dude.
What if Bungalay shows up in, a couple episodes' time, and he's, like, fucked up and beat to shit, and he's like, he thought I died, but I didn't.
What if Bungalay shows up, but it's the memory of Bungalay that Bungalay pulled from Kubar's brain while they were fighting to double-team him, but then Kubar killed the original Bungalay and kept the memory around to trick everyone? But actually, if you just, like, brush into it, it'll turn into gold and disappear like all the others.
Jesus, you've thought about this.
I just
that
made that up.
That was sick. I'd fucking love that.
That'd be hilarious.
I'd love that.
That'd be Bungalay playing the long game, but
yeah.
Then failing horribly.
How do you know Bungalay is the original Bungalay and not a double of Bungalay?
How do you know that Bungalay didn't use the Deep Specter icon to create 50 Bungalays and then kill them all?
I guess we'll never know.
It's a mystery.
I wouldn't want Bungalay to have anything to do with that terrible show.
And the more you say Bungalay, the weirder it sounds.
Yeah, it sounds like bunghole, what you say for a certain period of time.
I was going to say bungalow, but yeah, you can say that too.
Yeah, I think bungle, like he fucking bungled it.
Bungle, yeah.
Why is his name Bungalay?
The Death Galians keep bungling every time they try and beat the Juojirs. I think in a few years, Ghost will probably be softened on, because we tend to only remember the good things about old Rider series.
Well, that's already happened.
Well,
like, there was a period of time when the general consensus was that Ghost wasn't bad, was, like, bad. And now people have softened on it, and the general consensus seems to have swayed in the opposite direction.
I've heard some people saying that, I try to stay out of the Rider fandom. I heard some people saying that,
Why, Liam? Do you think Rider fans are fucking stupid idiots, or what?
Let's speak no further on this. I heard some people saying that, they said it gets boring, but the good episodes are worth waiting for, and I was like, where are these good episodes you're talking about? And no, they're not.
Maybe they're imaginary good episodes that they're hoping are going to come someday.
But it happens, kind of like, when I watched Kuga, I did get frustrated with how slow it was sometimes, but when I think back on Kuga, I remember it as being this fucking incredible show, and it is a great show, but I forget everything I didn't like about it. So,
yeah.
I don't know, that could have happened with Ghost. It could. If it's already starting.
It does seem like it's already starting. Like I said, we tend to get at least one message every couple weeks of somebody that's angry that we have a bad opinion on Ghost. Well, they don't like us anymore.
Actually, if you knew that we have actually the right opinion on Ghost, we got the correct one.
I couldn't imagine how anybody could arrive at the thought that Ghost is good and anybody who says it's bad is just a mean poo-poo head.
It's actually a meme to say Ghost is bad. We're just playing a joke this whole time.
Yeah, I mean, there are parts of the Rider fandom, bless their super genius minds, that think that saying Ghost is bad is just, like, baiting people into falling for their trolling.
Yeah, how do you think we got so many viewers?
I don't understand. You have to be, like, so deluded as a person to be like, Ghost is good, everybody's just wrong.
I mean, it's one thing to like the show, but it's got some fucking deep flaws, man. I like Sonic Adventure, but it's got
some...
Stop
baiting.
It's got some deep flaws.
Stop baiting, Liam.
Stop... Yeah, sorry.
Sonic Adventure is, for all intents and purposes, a fucking terrible game, but I love it.
It's, yeah, I love it like a brother. It's not
a
good game.
You like Sonic Adventure 2, though.
I like Sonic Adventure 2 as well. Also like a brother. Not a good game.
You like 2 better, don't you?
Yeah, I like 2 better.
I like 1 better. You can't fish in 2.
Yeah, thank God. Thank God.
I like the fishing parts.
Really?
All of my opinions are fucking ruined now because I admitted that, but I'll admit it freely.
When I was young, I literally never beat Sonic Adventure 1 because I couldn't beat the fishing part. I beat all the others. And then
cast the fucking rod out where Froggy is. You see him. He's
couldn't
in the fucking
do it.
Water.
Because, no, you get to the ice level and it's suddenly fucking impossible to get it right. Because it keeps catching on the edge of the ice. And
it does not.
It fucking sucks, dude.
Only if you're the worst fisherman that ever lived. Maybe you should get out there with Misao and learn how to fucking fish at age 20-something.
Well, I did it. I replayed it just recently, a couple years ago, and I did it. I could do it now. I could
I like
not do
playing
it.
Playing Big's fucking fishing game. I like that there's a boss in the game, a fishing boss that you gotta cast your fucking shit in.
You get your rod in there.
You know what I wonder?
What?
I wonder who came first, Chaos as a concept for a villain, or Big the Cat, the fisherman? Were they like? I know the answer to this, by the way. I'm being facetious.
Okay.
But were they like? Were they like? We have a fisherman, why don't we make the villain out of water? And he could fish in the villain!
Genius.
Or was it just fucking divine providence that brought it all together?
The programmer Takahashi is sitting at his computer trying to figure out what he's gonna do for a final boss for Big. And then he's like, my god, I've got it!
He'll be made out of water! I don't know why he's from Brooklyn.
To Takahashi Jones. Half Japanese, half Brooklynese.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, it could happen.
That happens a lot.
It could potentially happen.
I don't even know if we fucking answered her question.
I think we did.
All
Let's
right.
just say we did.
Whether we did or not, we're moving on. Our next question is via email from Dewey Defeats Truman.
Okay.
He said, firstly, I just wanted to thank you for watching Ghost, because that means I don't have to, and can spend that time doing far better things like watching Blade.
I envy you. I want your life.
You're welcome, you fucking asshole. No, we watch it so you don't have to. We're doing a community service, really.
It's to make up for that DUI, yeah?
I beat up an old lady at Christmas, so here I am. On the subject of Blade, things were getting pretty serious at some of the last few episodes I watched, but then there was a two-parter about Hajime, Kamen Rider Chalice, by the way, getting amnesia, thinking he worked at a takoyaki stand, and getting involved in some weird Prince and the Pauper / Romeo and Juliet shit. It really caught me off guard. How do you feel about sudden mood swings in Kamen Rider? Do you think it's a necessary evil, or just a symptom of bad / lazy writing from people desperately trying to fill 40-something episodes? It's the latter.
Yeah, I'm gonna say both. It's a little both.
It's, it's not a necessary evil in that way, because there really isn't a reason why it has to be 40-some episodes.
Well, the reason is because Toei and Bandai make it so. And, like, you're the show writer, right? And you got a full 40-something episodes. And it's a show for kids, and you got these two episodes just open, and you have no fucking clue. You're so desperate, you're like 15 episodes off, and you have to do something.
Do a day in the life.
So you do a day. That's the smart answer. But not everyone is smart.
Could you imagine if Agito did a day in the life of G3?
That would be incredible.
That would have been the shit.
But instead, you get the Dark Kitchen. Which is fine. I remember Agito's Dark Kitchen.
That was such a great arc.
I'm talking about Kabuto. I'm talking about Kamen Rider as a whole. I love the Dark Kitchen, but it was so disgustingly, offensively out of place in the show. It was like you said, it was tone whiplash, just like the thing with Blade.
Yeah, when I think about stuff that's like complete tone whiplash in a show, I absolutely think of that episode in Blade. That's the one that pops into my mind immediately.
Yeah.
Because it's Japanese slapstick.
Yeah.
In the middle of the heaviest shit, some of the heaviest shit that's ever happened in Rider.
Well, it's
fucking weird.
When you gotta fill up 50, 40 some episodes, you have to resort to some crazy shit. I would have a way hard time doing that. I cannot envision a story that I could keep going for 50, 22-minute episodes without having some filler or some stupid shit that I'd like to shove in there, just for funsies, to see what I can get away with.
Throw some twists and turns into your story, man.
But, like, how many of those can you do before it starts to get old, or before it starts to look like you just pulled it out of your ass? Like, you really gotta plan this shit.
I'd rather have that than some weird-ass fucking shit just happening for a couple episodes for no reason.
I guess. Because writer shows are generally written, like, they're not all done right at the start. They're written, like, I don't know, like 10 weeks in advance or something. They got them, they're writing them during the show, the individual episodes. So I imagine it's pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, if you had time, if they said, like, take a year to sit down and write 50 episodes, then maybe you could do it. 22 minute, like, you'd have to put some real crunch time in, but you maybe do it. But when you have that sort of schedule to work with and you have to deliver a script, like a 22 minute script, and you just don't know what the fuck you're gonna do, I imagine you'd resort to some crazy shit.
There might be, like, a necessary level of levity you have to inject.
That's
in
true,
every
too.
Series as well.
Even the heaviest Rider series, yeah.
There has to be something goofy. And I guess those episodes are a good place to condense it.
You must reach the minimum laughter level, or else you will not be put on TV.
I just wonder how those fucking meetings go. They're like, alright, our characters are in this horrible emotional situation, and they just broke down and cried. What happens next episode? One of the characters meets his fucking double, his twin, and they switch places, and he pretends to be a takoyaki man and gets married.
This guy's dying of cancer. He could die at any second. He's trying to save himself. So let's have an episode where he has to try to avoid marrying a bimbo airhead security or fucking secretary, and he has to pretend to marry her and try and escape on the lake. Yeah, that'll be great.
Let's do a musical episode.
Oh, God, I wish. I fucking wish.
How do you pitch that shit, though, the levity episode?
I don't know.
If it's necessary, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have that in the show. That makes it easy. You're like, all right, here's the levity episode. But if it wasn't necessary up until a point, who was the first guy that was like, all right, let's just have dumb shit happen for two episodes?
I'm trying to think of the first Rider series that really had that. I don't know, it's not coming to mind, but...
Because I don't remember Agito having, like...
Agito's levity is spread out. It's not, yeah. Like, it's got comedy in the series. Kuga never really had anything like that. It was Ryuki with the fucking...
Yeah.
The weird secretary arc.
Yeah, the marriage arc.
The marriage arc with Zolda. So I guess it was Kobayashi, Brave Woman.
Which I guess is
a
my
pioneer.
Favorite. That's probably my favorite of all the levity episodes.
Really? I might say The Dark Kitchen is my favorite.
The Dark Kitchen was good.
I love The Dark Kitchen. He tries to cook a washcloth. People died.
I've told real people who have no interest in Kamen Rider about that, and everyone always laughs every time I tell them that story.
And he tries, like, he's like, okay, I cooked bits of the washcloth into these noodles. You should be able to eat it now. He's trying so hard.
The secret to cooking is don't cook a washcloth.
But then the one in Ryuki has that one scene, which to me is fucking iconic, where they're on like a rowboat in the lake, and they're wearing like wedding outfits,
yeah.
And they're about to kiss, and just as she closes her eyes to kiss, he henshins and gets away, uses the reflection in the water.
He silently henshins while barely moving.
He mouths it out silently. You can see him. He mouths out the word henshin. It's fucking gold. As he escapes.
I love that.
It's so good.
Did that answer your question?
Fuck. They're weird. They're weird, and I'd rather have them, but they're...
I think it's a desperation to fill 40 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's probably, at this point, it's like, necessary.
We don't really have them anymore. Like, Gaim had the crossover episodes...
Yeah, Gaim had the soccer shit.
Yeah, that's true. Gaim had the soccer shit, but Drive, I don't remember had anything like that.
And Drive Ghost, had...
Ghost just been shit the whole way.
Yeah, Ghost is all one... It's the whole thing. Is
Ghost,
that...
The levity season.
There's no... The levity in Ghost is, like, not levity at all. It makes me angry. It's, like, reverse levity.
It's some sort of therapy.
It's fucking rage therapy.
I guess it's not a universal thing, the levity episode, but a lot of series do have them.
I don't know if I hate them or not. There's some I like.
I like them.
And there's some that I hate. And I feel like most of the ones I've seen I wasn't following along with.
I guess, like, they don't ruin anything. They're just there kind of awkwardly.
Yeah, like, I wasn't, like, watching them week by week, so I might be pissed if I'm watching a story and I'm getting really into it. And then suddenly I waited a week for an episode that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I was pissed in Gaim for that.
Yeah, when it was the Kikaider episode the soccer episode. The Kikaider episode was fine.
I ended up liking the Kikaider episode a lot.
Yeah.
I would actually watch that movie. I think somebody subbed it. I just haven't watched
Kikaider
it.
Kikaider reboot got subbed?
I think so.
Yeah?
I just haven't watched it.
Me neither.
One day!
One day. That's for the back burner.
Our next email. Thanks for writing in, Dewey. You write in all the time, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Our next email is from Daniel, who says, "Hey guys, loving the show as always." Thanks, Danny.
Good morning.
He probably hates me now.
Danny.
Following on from your discussion last week, what would be the absolute worst Kamen Rider series to watch on a first date in terms of getting a mood going? What do you think, Liam?
I was silent in thought. Oh, fuck.
Deno?
I was just gonna say Deno. It's so weird.
I guess it depends on what she's into, or he's into. If they're into a bunch of different types of men getting into a scrawny boy.
Well, when you put it that way. I was actually gonna jump to Kiva, but Kiva's got vampires and romance and violins and shit.
Yeah, people love that shit.
Yeah, No, yeah, maybe. Probably Deno. Deno's really weird. Or, like, Super One.
Super One's fucking awesome.
I would not get into the mood watching Super One.
Look, ladies love karate men, and he's a karate man.
That's true.
Mm. And he has fucking sweet-ass tassels on his gloves.
Oh, yeah. Chicks dig tassels.
Everybody loves tassels. Everybody.
Everybody. Universal.
You know what nipple pasties have on them in strip clubs? Tassels.
Yeah, tassels. It's proof
you know
right
what,
there.
You know what cowboys wear on their bare asses? Tassels.
If we're picking movies, I'll say Shin. Shin is not a good date night movie. It's ugly and gross, and it's not a good movie.
Yeah. It's not like a horror... Like, horror...
A horror
man,
movie.
I'm fucking the romanization team for Toei now. It's not a horror movie in the way that, like, your date will scream and grab hold of you or whatever. They'll just, like, vomit in your floor.
When they see the weird Shin baby, they'll puke all over your couch.
Yeah, I'm still gonna go with Deno.
There is a sex scene in Shin, though, so there's that.
Ugh.
It's not a good one.
It's an unpleasant sex scene.
Yeah. I'll say Deno.
Also, I noticed they had some adults in the background of one of the sent-in dances in the Juozha ending this weekend. now that the floodgates are open, when do you two plan to mail in a performance? Hope you guys have a good week. I've had a bad week now that I fucking heard that.
Do they accept whites? Or is it Japanese only?
They have a sign that says no whites allowed.
Whitey, keep walking.
You just gave away that we're both white.
As oh, no.
This podcast doesn't fucking prove it in every way, shape, and form.
God, I don't know how to do the Jiu-Oja dance. I'm so embarrassed to admit it. I've never done the Jiu-Oja dance naked in front of my bathroom mirror before.
Yeah, he's definitely not done that.
Never. Never.
Not every week. We're not going to send the Jiu-Oja dance in because we're both horribly ashamed of who we are and what we look like.
If I had someone to do it with me, I would do it.
Oh my god.
I would totally fucking do it.
Well, good luck fucking finding somebody.
Yeah. You're the only person I know who watches Sentai, so.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
You're not fucking doing it.
Actually, fuck it, I'll do it. Let's take a plane together.
Yeah.
And we'll go do it.
So do it at the airport.
That was a callback joke.
Oh. Let's do it at the warehouse on the edge of town.
It's a long callback there.
Oh.
Let's do it on the dead guy's grave.
The dead...
That's a real long callback.
We don't call him the dead guy anymore. He's Tomaz now. He's alive again.
He dug himself out of his fucking coffin, and he's back.
He's back. Except, you know, he hardly does anything with us.
He's not in our Rider Club commentary for Kamen Rider the First, which you can find now in riderclubradio.wordpress.com.
He was busy that night, but he'll be in the next one, probably.
He had shit to do. He might be in the next one, who knows.
He doesn't come to the podcast because he doesn't like the warehouse.
Yeah, once we got evicted, he got bit by a rat and had to get like 70 shots for rabies and tetanus, and he's just not happy about the new location.
It's not a great place. No. It smells like piss in here.
We do have to sit on top of boxes to stay off the ground because there are just rats fucking everywhere.
There's old, out-of-date monster suits. There's shit from like fucking Fies hanging on the walls here.
This is where they kept the Gills suit.
No wonder it got so ravaged.
There is a big rat here. I named him Splinter. He's basically my pet now.
Does he listen to your commands, or does he just not bite you, or?
Eventually, I'm gonna be like that fucking movie with the guy that controls rats with his mind.
Oh fuck! I know that movie. What's it called?
It's just some guy's name.
I don't know.
You know what? We fucking have technology. I'm gonna time out on this podcast.
All right.
Man controls rats movie. Willard.
Willard.
Yeah. Welcome to the Willard cast.
Welcome
starring
to the
Crispin
Willard.
Grover. Jackie Burris.
You've been drinking the night, Jeff? Be honest with me.
It stars Crispin Grover. He's the monster in the movie.
He's the monster, yeah.
I may have had one or two.
Oh, okay. Just a couple Jaeger bombs before you come over here.
It was tequila, alright?
Oh, okay.
I only had one or two or six.
Are we done talking for this week?
We're done talking altogether.
Okay, so send us an email at riderclubradio@gmail.com.
Or you can send us a tweet at Rider Club Radio, no caps, no spaces, none of that fucking horse shit.
Do it. Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter. We tweet funny shit. We tweet links to funny things. It's a good time for everybody.
We retweet you if you tweet something funny at us.
It has to be really funny, though. Don't tweet us shit that you think is funny that isn't funny.
Only bring your A game.
You tweet us shit that we think is funny. You should know what we find funny by now.
If you got a good grasp on us.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.